For the next few minutes, we want to talk to you along the line, not exactly like we did this morning, but perhaps maybe along the same line. And because that message this morning, the Lord just gave that to me just a couple of days ago. And usually when troubles my heart and it goes over and over again in my heart and mind, I even sleep with it. And I pray about the matter, and usually it's the message that God wants me to bring. And I go looking for it and reading over and meditating on it. But in this third chapter of Colossians, we'll turn to the third chapter of Colossians. Meditating upon this afternoon, these verses. The first four verses of the third chapter of Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now this talks about the characteristics of the abundant life of the Christians, if you want to call it that, or the happy life, or the contented life, the satisfying life in Christ. If ye, now the apostle is speaking to the saints here, and he's making it personal, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you have been risen and born again by the resurrected power of Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You go back to the time when God saved you. If you can go back to that time, I believe you can. And refresh your memory and how you were illuminated, enlightened, how you found complete satisfaction in Christ after he saved you, how you were taken up with him, and how you longed to depart and be with him. You're just taken up with him. I know I was for about a month. I guess I was riding as it was on a cloud, seemingly on higher ground. And I sought those things that are above. I wanted to be with the Lord. My life was hid with Christ in God. And I was risen. I was made a new creature in Christ. And I begin seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, you just wanted to be with him after you've come to know all about him, and your desires were so vigorous when in coming to him, and when he was revealed to your heart, you wanted to be with him. And it's just like a born a girl in love, they desire after one another, and they just long to be with one another permanently for a lifetime, and they marry, and there they are, they found one another, never to be departed. A true marriage consists of that. You'll never want to be departed from your wife or your husband. It's a lifelong proposition as far as you're concerned. And so when a sinner gets to Christ, when he comes to know him who loved him, who died for him, who gave his precious blood for him, the desire and the longing of his heart, oh, that I can be with him and see him, my beloved who gave himself for me, who died for me, who loved me. And so, and that's a love that you'll never understand. But he says now, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. It doesn't mean that we do not use the things of this earth, but we do not set our affections and our hearts upon those things, upon the earth. We do not. And then the Apostle Paul, here he exhorts us not to do that. But seek ye things above. Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, what is he doing there? What is Christ doing there? We say he sitteth at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, what is our Lord doing there? What is implied here that Christ sitteth on the right hand of God? Well, the first thing we find that he's doing there, he's resting. He ceased from his labors, and now he's resting. All through the 33 and a half years, that he trod this earth, and sinners followed him. He was scorned by the Pharisee, by the unsaved religionists. And for 33 and a half years, I wouldn't say all of that time he was hounded, but when he began his earthly ministry, in the last 3 and a half years, how he was hounded and how he was taunted at down here in the flesh. And then he went to the cross. He was put to death, sent back to heaven. All right, now, what is he doing there now? After his work is all finished here, what are you and I going to do after our labors are through down here? What are you and I going to do when we get to glory? We'll cease from our labors. Our labors are not in vain in the Lord, but we're going to cease from them, and we'll have not to be laboring down here in the flesh anymore. Well, these bodies will never have to get tired anymore. Our voices will never play out on us anymore. Thinking about that, I was thinking about, I think I preached about 10 times in this past week. And, well, let's see now, 3 last Sunday, or, and then Monday night, Tuesday night, that's 5, Wednesday night, that's 6, 7 here, the voice of truth, then today, it'll make me 10 times I've preached this last Sunday. And I feel just as good and rested in the Lord, because I know that our labors are not in vain in the Lord. Wherever we go, here and there, I knew it was not in vain up in Arley and through those places. God had people there waiting for us, gave them a receptive heart in Hattiesburg, and then here, give us the messages for today. I have lacked nothing, but I know one day we're going to lay these bodies down to go home, and there is an eternal rest waiting for the people of God. And that's the rest I'm longing for. That's the rest I'm hoping in. And one day will become a living reality. I won't find rest here. Oh, how many times we made to say, oh, where can I find a good soft pillow? where I can rest this head of mine and this body of mine and get a good night's sleep. But I don't know, that's been a long time. But we go on laboring for the Lord. And so our blessed Lord is at rest in glory. And when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And you'll find that in Hebrews 1:3, if you want to take these scriptures down. When he had by himself purged our sins, he's now sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. On the right hand of the Father on high. After he paid our sin debt in full, he was able to say, "It is finished." His will, the will of God, the will of the Father, was to come down here and tell sinners about the Father, about God's plan for their redemption, and about a way of escape for sinners, as he's telling us now through his word and through his servants, through our testimony, his purpose for mankind, for fallen mankind, that will enable him to reach the Father is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. But after he paid our sin debt in full, he was able to say, "It is finished." Now, what does that mean? What was finished? Man's redemption. God's redemptive work for mankind, for you and I. It's finished. It's all been done. And there it is for sinners to come. There it is for sinners to accept it, to look to it, to him, and to see God's provision for every sinner, for everyone. And it is our duty to proclaim that message and tell sinners that Jesus is now finished. He had finished the work of redemption. But he has yet, but he is still not finished the work of intercessory. And I praise the Lord for that. And that won't be finished till God's people get to heaven. His intercessory work for you and I. Yes, and you'll find that scripture, "It is finished," in John 19:30, the cross was the payment in full. Isn't it wonderful when you're paying on your home, the mortgage every month, and it comes time when you pay that last bill, that last mortgage, and they stamp across there, "Paid in full." Paid in full. And they can never take that away from you now. And you find consolation in that. There's a freedom there that you never experience along the way. I know that was the same way in my case. Not too long ago, I paid my last payment on my house, paid in full. And that just rejoiced my heart. But oh, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he paid the sinner's sin debt in full, that's more rejoicing. That should rejoice your heart that now there's a way open for sinners who are lost and on the road to hell. Now here's a way open made by Jesus Christ himself, the way of salvation. It is finished, purchased by his own precious blood. The cross was the payment in full to God's satisfaction. The resurrection was God's receipt. If he never would have rose, we wouldn't have any resurrected Lord, we wouldn't have any salvation, because the same power that raised our Lord from the dead is the same power that God the Father raises a sinner from the grave of sin. It's the same power. Do you know what I'm talking about? I often say that salvation by power is a resurrection from death unto life. And a sinner is dead just like Lazarus was dead in that tomb. He's bound as he was bound with those cords about him. And then the Lord gave a good picture of that when he brought forth Lazarus from that grave, and he told him to bound to take all those clothes off him and everything else and set him loose. And so a sinner is depraved. He's dead. There's no life. He's just dead. He's a corpse. As far as he's talking about the spiritual life of an unsaved individual, he's a corpse. And God has to raise that individual by his resurrected power. Yes, our blessed Lord drank the bitter cup of woe, and as it were, he handed back the cup to the Father, and he said, "It is finished. It is finished. The great transaction is done." In John 17:4, our blessed Lord prayed, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Oh, when I read this portion of scripture, I thought about my own life. When I come to the end of this life, will I be able to say like my Lord, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do"? The Apostle Paul said, "I have finished my course." He had finished his course. You see, every one of God's people, they have a course to charter in this life. Everyone has a work to do. God gives her so much responsibility upon every one of his children. And is for you to find that work as God's child for your life and do it. And then when you come to the end of life's way, you'll be able to say, I finished the work. I'm finished with the work that God had ordained and purposed for my life. And then I've run my course, or I've finished the course. And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Do you know that our Lord Jesus, he had finished drinking the cup of damnation dry. He drank it dry, and as if it were, he handed the cup to his Father, and he said, "Father, I drank that cup of woe. I drank that cup of bitterness. And here it is." And the Father accepted it. He accepted the work that his Son did. Oh, how beautiful it is. How glorious it is to get a picture of that. Of the acceptance of the Father. And then when you see the sinner completely satisfied with what our blessed Lord did, he drank damnation dry for the sinner. And what a beautiful view and picture it gives us as the Father accepts the Son. And you see the sinner accepting the Son, the sacrifice, and the atonement, and all that he did for them as he did for me. I become satisfied. I'm satisfied. Are you? Or do you need something else? Do you need something else? Or do you go out on a tangent somewhere here? I need this, I need that. I need an experience. I need this, I need a dream. Or whatever it might be, I need to see a vision. Give it to me. I have finished the course, the work which thou gavest me to do. Christ is now at the Father's right hand, making intercession for us, praying for us. Hebrews 7:25 tells us, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now we're talking about Christ sitting on the right hand of God, as Colossians, that third chapter and that first verse tells us. And he's busy there. He's busy there performing the work of the high priest, the intercessor. Oh, what a great intercessor we have. Praying for me, praying for you. Do we ever stop to think of the importance of our Savior's intercessory prayers? Saint, are you aware that Christ is at the right hand of the Majesty making intercession for you? Oh, when I came up here tonight, how I just was so, my thoughts, they went there to the throne of grace. That's where he is. Today, I was aware of it. That's what he's doing for us. Christ is now at the right hand of the Father on high. And do you ever see the importance? Do you see the importance of our Savior's intercessory prayer, Saint? Now, why didn't Peter fall away entirely? Why is it that you and I do not fall away entirely away from the Lord? Why is it that we cannot fall away? We cannot fall away from grace. We cannot fall out of the Father's hands. Now, why is it? It's because of the intercessory work of our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what he told Peter. He told Peter in Luke 22:32, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now he's not concerned with the world. He's concerned with his people whom he has saved. That's right. He's concerned with the individual that wants him. He's praying for that individual. For you, he is praying to the Father. He's given you a new spirit. He's given you a new heart. He's given you a new nature. And he's praying for you. Do you know that he wants you as bad as you want him? You ever stop to think about that, sinner? Now, how bad do you want Christ? Do you realize he wants you just as bad as you want him? And there'll come the time when you say, I can't live without him. And brother, you can't live without an individual. There's going to be some way that you're going to meet him. There's something that's going to give way. I couldn't live without my wife. Before I married, I just had to have her. I haunted her and taunted her. But the first thing you know, now we've been together now for 26 years, which I praise the Lord for. And I wanted her bad enough. And I made it my business. That she wasn't going to have, nobody else was going to have her. I wanted her. So you see, the sinner gets so concerned that, you know, you might know Christ, but oh, I want to know him. Oh, I want him. I want him above everything else. My desires are after him. Tell me, where can I find him? Oh, where can I find him whom my soul loveth? As God's child, We may be sick, we might be down, we might be ill, may not be able to pray or utter a word, and others may forget to pray for us. And perhaps there might be times when we'd be too discouraged or going through very difficult periods to even pray. But what a comfort to the believer to know that Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, is praying for us. Oh, what a grand salvation that we have. What a great Savior that we have. I cannot talk about him enough. And I cannot describe him enough that you may see the beauty in Christ and that you will long after him and want him and you will lose sight of everything else. To know that he undertakes for us when we are unable to undertake for ourselves. Sinner, do you realize your helplessness tonight? You cannot undertake for yourself. What I can tell you of a friend that sticketh closer to you than a brother. I can tell of you of a faithful high priest that's praying for you and making intercession for you, and he will not be satisfied until you belong to him, until you can say he's mine and I'm his. And that's true. There's that union with Christ and with the Father. What a comfort to know that he's praying for us. Let us turn to Hebrews in the Bible here. The book of Hebrews, the second chapter. In the second chapter of Hebrews, in that ninth verse, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Isn't that wonderful? Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. When our Lord reached heaven, what happened? He was crowned with glory and honor, as the second chapter of Hebrews tells us, that ninth verse. He was crowned with glory and honor. In his humiliation, he was crowned with a crown of thorns. But now we see him crowned with glory and honor. One day the earth rejected him. One day he is going to return to this earth to assume the kingdom that was originally his. You may say, I'll not have this man to rule over me. But one day, our blessed Lord is going to reign in his kingdom forever and ever. Revelation 19:6 exclaims, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Do you know who the ones are that will reign with him? You ever stop to think about the ones who are going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth? It's going to be the believers. You and I, who are saved, are going to reign with Christ. Yes, men today, they reject the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject his way of salvation. They say in their hearts, I'll not have this man to rule over me. I'll not have his will to rule over my will. I'll not have his way and his thoughts to rule over my way and my thought. But still and all, our blessed Lord is going to reign upon this earth one day, and he's going to put down all rebellion, everything that raises up itself up against him, and we are going to reign with him, and we are going to delight in that reign. Do you know that? We're going to enjoy that reign with him. Nowadays there's so much wickedness, so much violence, and we really don't enjoy this life, as it were, except if we know the Lord and enjoy what he has done for us. So therefore, set not our affections upon things on this earth, but set them up in heaven, up yonder with our Lord, and think about all that's going to be performed through him, and how we're going to labor with him and reign with him. Those are the things we've got to think about. Not how we're going to reign down here, or what we're going to win down here. I know they got people so nervous that every jigsaw puzzle that comes out in the paper, every word puzzle, they'll just wear themselves to death trying to work out those things, trying to work and win a prize, trying to do all kind of things and use all their time and their energy in trying to win something. And when they don't win it, it all goes by, they fail, everything else fails, and the first thing you know, they're discouraged because they have set their minds and their hearts upon things down here for gain. But that's not a joyous life. It's when we look away from these things and look into the Lord and see everything that's before us, that's laid out before us, and how we're going to labor with him and through the years when he shall reign upon this earth for 1,000 years, and the saints are going to reign with him, and they are going to delight in that reign. And I praise the Lord. We got something to look forward to. Now we've got something to look to and to think about and have our affections set upon. Yes, our Lord God omnipotent reigning. Do you know who the ones are that will reign with him? It's going to be the believer. Every blood-bought believers. And even now, even right now, what does the scripture tells us? He had made us kings and priests. Isn't that wonderful? Right now. For ye are a royal priesthood, a peculiar or a holy, a zealous people. Isn't that wonderful? And we're priests and kings in his kingdoms, in his kingdom. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Now you look at that second verse. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. And that third verse of Colossians in the third chapter. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now what does that mean? Is hidden in Christ with God. If our life is hid with Christ in God, how silly it is for anyone to think that we can be lost again. Now if your life is hid with Christ in God, now how in the world does people get the idea that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow? I'll never understand that. Unless if I wasn't saved. But then there are people that believe that they can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Well, that's foolish to believe that, because the word of God does not teach such things. The word of God teaches us a present salvation, and it's a lasting salvation. We are hidden with Christ in God. Now, that does not leave any doubt. That shouldn't leave any doubt in any individual's heart. That when an individual is saved, he's saved now. And God the Father hides him in Christ. And Christ is hidden in God. And so, therefore, what a safe hiding place, huh? You ever sing that song, "I Found a Hiding Place"? You ever knew what that meant? Oh, I have found a hiding place. Yes, I have. And it's silly for anybody to think that we can be lost again. Just think about it. Christ in God. Christ in God. The believer is hidden in Christ. In God. What double security there, huh? Think about it. What double security? What a double hiding place. Double. He says, "I paid your sin double. All of your sins double." And he's given us a double hiding place. Praise the Lord. A double hiding place. Let's turn to the 10th chapter of John. The 10th chapter of John, and read the 28th verse. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, I just believe that. I can't help but just believe that. That's how secure the believer is in Christ. My Father who gave them to me. Now, in other words, if you're not satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're hidden in Him. And then the Lord comes back with this. He says also, all right, "My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So there it is, Christ who is our life. And so, there's our security. What a safe hiding place. Hidden in the clefts of the rock, as the rock of Gibraltar, battered by the storm-tossed sea and the winds, century after century. But still, there it remains. And they call that rock an impregnable rock. But just think about that security that the believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Father. It's an impregnable hiding place. Its defenses are strong. The gates of hell will never be able to prevail against it. Hid with Christ in God. Hid in the clefts of the rock, as it were in the wounds of our blessed Lord. And then for a little bit more security, hid in the bosom of the Father. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Does that rejoice your heart? Christ, who is our life, oh, praise the Lord. An individual may have the physical life and yet not have the spiritual life. Christ, who is our life, is a continuous life. I live because He lives. It's a continuous life. There's no end to that life in Christ. It can never end, never to be separated again. I live because He lives. And John 10:10 tells us it is an abundant life. Are we enjoying the abundant life? An abundant life cannot be hid. You cannot hide an abundant life. It's got to show forth. If Christ indwells our heart, you cannot hide the reality of His presence. You cannot do it. He's there. He's there. He's our life. He's our life. We heard the statement And we constantly hear the statement, the fragrance of Calvary. Christ went out of himself. Now you get this. Christ went out of himself. He gave himself. He offered himself as a sweet-smelling savor or fragrance unto the Lord, unto the Father. When we read about the woman who had the alabaster box and she brought it into where Jesus was, she broke it. The fragrance was released, wasn't it? And what happened? John 12:3 tells us the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It is only when self is broken that the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is known. It's only when self is broken the preciousness of the Christ, of Christ, is known. She came in, she threw herself at his feet. She emptied herself before him. She broke that box of alabaster, the alabaster box of perfume, and the odor filled the house. Fragrance, it flowed all over the house, and they were able to smell it and enjoy it, the perfume. Oh, how we often talk about the perfume of Calvary. And yes, what a sweet-smelling savor into the nostril of the Father. And there was the fragrance, how it came down to us. And it filled, as it were, our hearts and our lives with the fragrance of Calvary. But it's only as we empty ourselves of self are we able to enjoy the fragrance of Calvary, the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that's when we can empty ourselves of self, of this world, of the affections of this world, the affections of the lust and everything about us, and enjoy the sweet-smelling savor of Calvary. Enjoy Christ. You see, he emptied himself. He gave himself. And we, in return, we give ourselves unto him. And just like this poor woman came in, and oh, how she enjoyed that fragrance. How she looked upon him. She wanted him. She loved him. She adored him. And it was hard to separate her from him. But she met the one that was able to do for her like no other could do. And that was to forgive her and cleanse her. And she emptied herself out that she may be filled with the perfume of Calvary. Sinner, empty yourself out. Saint, empty yourself out that you may be filled with Christ, with the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to say, oh, how precious he is unto me. What preciousness. Oh, what sweet fragrance. What sweet fellowship I enjoy with my Lord. Yes, it is only when self is broken the preciousness of Christ is known. And in closing, therefore, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's where he is. Think upon him. Just think upon Christ. And you know, one, as long as you think about him, you're going to think like him. You're going to think with him. You are. And you'll enjoy him. Like this one called me up this evening says, I believe this and I believe that, but I don't know whether I'm saved. I don't hate God, and I have nothing against him, and I only think about how much I've done against him and everything. And the only thing I could tell him and say, sir, just look to Christ, will you? Just look to him. Just look to him. I say, if you think all of that, that's even grace just to think that. And I say, now, you go on and take the word of God. And I say, you meditate and think about him. And think about those things. And look to the Lord as you meditate. Oh, he started off with so many things, so many things. And I tell you how a sinner is so confused. My heart went out to him. But I say, sir, you have to do exactly what I've done and what I continually do. And you've got to turn to the Lord. You've got to come to him. And you've got to learn to trust him. And then he'll give you assurance. And all the while he was trying to want me to give him assurance. But I say, now you go to the right source. You go to the Lord. And he'll give you assurance. Dwell with him a while. Be patient. Sit down there and think about him. And pray to him. And cry unto him. And meditate upon the word of God. And ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart and your mind. And I said, you'll get assurance. I can't give it to you. If you're risen with Christ, if you are saved, seek those things which are above. Look beyond this life. Look at the great hope set before us. Look at the eternal heavens and who will reign there. Think about those who've gone on before us, who have fought the battles of life, the warriors, warfare. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. Not crowned with thorns anymore, but crowned with the royal diadem. With honor and glory. Yes, down here he was humiliated, but God the Father raised him up. And he's given him a name which is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. You bow to that name, but it's not only Jesus, but Lord. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is not only Jesus the Savior, but Lord, governor, ruler of our hearts and lives. I'm talking about that living Bible. In there, I read a scripture there where the Apostle Peter, when the Lord turned to the Apostle Peter and them and says, will ye also go away? And then the living Bible gives the paraphrasing there. Peter turned and said, Master, to whom shall we go? And what does the King James Version say? Lord. Right then and there, taking away the lordship of Christ. Master means teacher. That's the way Nicodemus came to the Lord. Master, teacher. But brother, they're trying to do away with the lordship of Jesus Christ. And where it said begotten son, they say only son. Leaving a doubt in the heart and mind of its readers of whether he was virgin born or not. But Christ was virgin born, the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten, not the only Son. And oh, how I went through that thing, my wife and I, we saw some scriptures there. So, it's all right if you're thoroughly convinced of the King James Version. If you want to see how modernistic the religious world is becoming, And even this publishing house that used to put out some very good books, that's the one that's putting out that Living Bible. And that paraphrasing is not even paraphrasing. But I praise the Lord that He keeps us aware of error, and He keeps us our nose grounded here in the truth. Because there's lots of voices rising up among us, and there's lots of things that are going to come out, and your faith is going to be tested. Fiery trials, the Apostle Peter said. But unto the praise and the glory of the Lord, that your salvation may not stand in the faith of man, but be of God. I praise the Lord that my salvation is not of man. Because if man had anything to do with my salvation, they could take it away. But my salvation is hidden with Christ in God. And what double security the believer has. What cause for rejoicing the believer has. A double hiding place. I like that kind of a salvation. Brother, I can sit right on that, and I can stand on it. I can go to sleep on it. And I can die by that. Can you? I hope you can. But if you turn to Christ, you'll be able to say that. Yes, sirree. And I praise the Lord for the services tonight, and you bearing with us, and you out in radio land, may God bless you. And may you look to the Lord and trust Him. Let us hear from you. And we thank you for being with us tonight. This was God's message for our hearts. Turn to the Lord. Our Father, we thank Thee for your message and for strength to deliver it. Our hearts rejoice tonight in the double hiding place that Thou hast given us. What security for the believer. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray for those that do not know you. And we thank you that thou art drawing sinners unto thee. Thou art awakening sinners. And we want to praise thee for it. And may this ministry just go on and on. And it'll be a continuous awakening ministry where the Holy Spirit awakens sinners and brings them to Christ. Our Father, we want to only glorify thy name. We want to exalt thee above every name. We want to make thy name known, thy glory, thy salvation, the gospel that thou hast left us. Give us the grace that's needed. Give us the strength to proclaim it. Give us a people that will walk with us as we walk with thee. Give us a people that will pray for us, and where we'll pray one for another. And our dear Heavenly Father, together we'll give Thee all the glory and honor and praise. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Thank you.